Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just lift before you and before the throne of grace those who are suffering among us, those who are afflicted, those who are discouraged, those who need strength in their weakness, for you prove yourself strong. For when we are weak, that's when we're strong. For you pitch a tent over us, a tent of power. Father, we come to you needy, contrite, requiring, needing, desperately needing your word, so that we might have more faith, and that faith might become hope, and that hope might become love. Father, that we might be children of God through faith, friends of God through hope, and lovers of God through receiving and reciprocating your love. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. I've entitled the message this evening, Out from Faith and Into Faith. It's Tuesday, November 1st, 2016. By the way, the clocks change Saturday night, so we're going to be here an hour earlier. Right? Fall back, yeah. I can never figure that out. Of course, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, so. All right. And our text is Hebrews 11, 23-30. We're going to talk about Moses this evening and things regarding Moses, who was a great man, the greatest man in the Old Testament, because he was the meekest man on the entire earth in his generations. So, in this portion of our study, in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, we're attempting to gain a comprehensive understanding of faith. What it is as well as what it is not. And faith is the non-meritorious perception and consent to the divine revelation with regard to the person and word of Christ. The person and work of Christ. Faith is confidence and optimum objective optimism. Faith is unwavering conviction from ultimate truth, from the written evidence, heard, not seen, and held in the heart of the humble believer. Hebrews 11, 23. By faith and piston. By faith. Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months. Moses didn't have anything to do with it. Matt brought this up earlier. His parents did. He had a legacy of faith. He was left a legacy of faith by his parents and an identity as a child of God, an Israelite. And therefore, he was motivated by that and did not attempt to retain the high status and privilege of his royal surroundings in the home of Pharaoh's daughter. As you recall, he was taken by Pharaoh's daughter from the Ark of the Bulrushes into her home and raised as her daughter, as her son. And history says he was next in line to be Pharaoh, Thutmose, plucked from the reeds, plucked from the bulrushes. So he was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. That means that they had great faith, hope, and love with regard to him, with regard to Jesus Christ. They knew there was something special about him. God put that in their hearts. Do you ever think there was something special about your children? We all do, don't we? They're special, all right. They are in God's eyes. And he has a plan for everyone's life. But things that we wouldn't even imagine, like making Scott Warren into a preacher, I can't even believe he did it. Beyond my wildest imagination, how that occurred. I can't even really trace it. That's just my own reflections. But it is quite remarkable. If you knew me better than you do now, if you knew me after the flesh, you'd say, yeah, that's right. Like my whole extended family does. Anyway, I'm no darn good. But God is great. God is good. So, he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Therefore, faith favors the believing. Faith fears only God. Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, after he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know why? Faith fashions one's identity. You can be a child of God, not a Pharaoh's daughter. Faith fashions one's identity. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called or known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. See, faith frees you from sin. So we'll go back, recap them. Faith favors the believing. Faith fears only God. Faith fashions one's identity. And faith frees from bondage to sin. Verse 26, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking, giving heed and consideration to the reward. Faith, therefore, forsakes earthly pursuits and earthly riches. That's not its goal, its objective. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Therefore, faith focuses on Christ. Verse 28. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. Therefore, faith finds grace for obedience. Be obedient to the word of God. Obedient to the call of God. Verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land. Who's that? Moses and the 2.5 million slaves. They marched or passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through on dry land. That's because they were. It was dry land. He dried up the Red Sea. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Therefore, faith foils the plots of wickedness. See, Moses was chosen. Here, let's recap these one more time. I got a short message tonight anyway, so this will fill up some of my time. Faith favors the believing. Faith fears only God. Faith fashions one's identity. Faith frees from sin, bondage to sin. Faith forsakes earthly pursuits and earthly riches. Faith focuses on Christ. Faith finds grace for obedience. And faith foils the plots of wickedness. Get a little better understanding of what faith is. Moses was chosen to lead the Exodus. He came out from wealth and privilege. Didn't consider that something to be grasped. Who's that sound like? Christ. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but laid aside the rights, privileges, and prerogatives of his deity to live as a man, as a servant. Not to be served, but to serve, to offer his life as a ransom for many. To submit to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every other name and royal title, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is God to the glory of God the Father. He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Yahweh, he is. So, out from the ivory palaces into the wilderness of sin, just like our Lord. Therefore, he's a portrait. Moses is a portrait of Jesus Christ. Not a perfect one, but indeed he is a portrait of Jesus Christ in those respects. He did what faith demanded. And what is that? Believed every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Just like our Lord. He did this and accomplished the goal by believing God, whose gracious plan was to deliver his people from impossible circumstances by unusual means. And therefore he became an unlikely hero. Through Moses' faith, God demonstrated his power and manifested his glory. He said, all of this is to glorify his name and to manifest and demonstrate his power, to wipe out the Egyptian military complex in a flood as they tried to pass through the Red Sea, and to destroy them completely, the horse, the chariot, and the rider, all of them, drown in the sea. So, this would benefit all mankind. The account of Israel's exodus and ours, and the exodus of Jesus Christ as he infiltrated and exfiltrated this world, taking many sons into glory to fulfill his promise to his people, God's promise to his people, for his name's sake. Moses, it says, in Numbers 12:3, was the meekest man in all the earth. He had to write that about himself. You know, he wrote Deuteronomy, wrote Numbers. So he wrote that about himself. That takes real meekness to write that. I am the meekest man in all the earth. Wow. Don't sound arrogant. Doesn't sound meek. But it's true. God says, write it. Paul says, is anybody among you spiritual? Is anybody a prophet? Then let him acknowledge that the things that I write are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says to Timothy, pay attention to me, Timothy, and to my teaching, and God will give you understanding in all things. Paul had to write that about himself, see? It's not arrogant, it's true. And if it wasn't true, then it would be arrogant. An arrogant lie. It's like the lies of the wicked one. Great swelling words, boasting of things that are not true. Numbers 12:3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now, there's a verse that intrigues me, that I think of often. One that defines righteousness. One that defines faith and righteousness better than any other. That is, going out and coming in. Turn to Romans 1:16. I love this passage. There's not another one like it. It says quite the same thing. It's so filled with meaning and insight into the character of faith and the result of faith, which is righteousness, because faith is righteousness. That is how God sees it. Say, well, isn't righteousness right doing? That's believing. And guess what? You'll always accomplish what you truly believe. You'll always do what you believe. Faith without works is dead. Real faith works every time. It works through the love. All the way through the love. Therefore, it's rewardable production. Faith is. And without it, you can't please it. In Hebrews 11:6. Romans 1:16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's the entire New Testament revelation. Not just Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Not that only, which is, it's integral to it. It's the foundation. and that he was buried in the earth 3 days and three nights. Paul says, I give you what I received, and it's of first importance, how that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and 3 days and three nights later rose from the dead according to the Scriptures, and by this gospel you're saved, lest you believe in vain, that is, in something else. There is nothing else. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone, anyone who believes it. To the Jew, protos first, and likewise to the Greek. That means just as it is for the Greek. There is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. For all sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. He set forth as a propitiation so that his righteousness might be proclaimed in all the earth. And he passed over the sins previously committed, stored them up, and imputed them all to Christ, past, present, future. That's what counts. You believe that message, and you're saved, safe, and eternally secure. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. That's the message. That's the power of God. It's unobtrusive power, but it's power nonetheless. The greatest power. Change your destiny in a moment. Make you a brand new creature in the blink of an eye. It'll take you up and out of here with a new metabolic human structure. Deathless, sinless human body just like Jesus Christ. He's able to subject all things to himself by his great power. That's the gospel. It's the power of God resulting in salvation. Everyone who believes it. To the Jew even as it is to the Gentile. Now, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Ek pistios, from faith, eis pistis, into faith, out from faith into faith, as it is written, permanently inscribed in the record of Scripture, inscripturated. But the righteous man shall live by faith. What does it mean, live? Live eternally. It means live well. Live large. Live before God. Walk before God. Walk with God and live before God. By faith. By perception and consent to the non-meritorious perception and consent to the divine revelation regarding the person and word, the person and work of Jesus Christ. So, here we have ek pistios and eis pistis. Out from, ek is out from, pistios, faith, and into, eis, into faith. Out from faith, into faith. This is designated by two prepositions, ek translated out from and eis translated into. And you can see these two prepositions. And I'll give you a few examples, but Romans 1:17, you can look these up on your own. Romans 1:17, Paul uses this combination, these phrases, often in his epistles. Romans 1:17, 3:26, 3:30. Romans 4:16, 5:1, 9:30, 9:32. 10:6, 14:23, Galatians 2:16, 3:7, 3:11, 3:22, 3:24, 5:5, and then of questionable Pauline authorship, Hebrews 10:38, James, you know you didn't write James, James 2:24, James wrote James 2:24. God's righteousness as the revelation of faith that takes us out from ek, death and condemnation, and ice into life. John 5:24, Jesus said this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out from death and into life." By what? Faith, which is righteousness. The righteousness of God is revealed out from faith into faith. Ectu thanatu, ice tain zoe. Out of death into life. Or Colossians 1:13, "For he rescued us out from the domain," out from the domain of darkness, "and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son." Out from the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Colossians 1:13. Or 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out from darkness and into his marvelous light." We have ek skotus, which is out of darkness, and then we have ice to thamaston, altu, folks, into his marvelous, magnificent light. And out from the displeasure of God into the favor of God, Romans 5:2. Out from slavery to sin into the glorious liberty of the sons of God, Romans 8:21. That the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into be set free, which is out from, set free out from its slavery and corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Faith in Christ takes us out of Adam and into union with Christ. You know, just like those who were seen coming out of the tombs after the crucifixion of Jesus, it says in Matthew 27:53, and coming out from the tombs, after his resurrection, they entered into the holy city. The same will be true for us. And appeared to many. Psalm 107:28, "They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses." In and out. Psalm 121:8, "The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever." You believe that? I know it's true. I've seen him do it too many times to deny. Isaiah 28:20. See, your experience will be like this if you don't understand these things. "The bed is too short on which to stretch out, and the blanket is too small to wrap yourself in." You never find comfort or contentment apart from him. From faith and faith righteousness. Isaiah 28:20, "The bed is too short." Isaiah, I like that twice here. Well, so we'll say it twice. "The bed is too short on which one stretches, on which to stretch out, and the blanket is too small to wrap oneself in." Malachi 3:10. "Bring the whole tithe." I keep bringing this verse up, but it has so much meaning. It's not talking about your money. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me in this, if I will not open you for you the windows of heaven and pour out, in and out, for you a blessing until it overflows." John 10:9, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Going in, coming out. Coming out, going in. We're called into fellowship of the Son. Into faith, which is righteousness. And out from unbelief, which is sin. We are called out to come in. And to stay there. Called out of the cosmos into the kingdom. where we are to abide in Christ until we're called up. In the meantime, we buck up as we look up and wait by faith for the realization of righteousness. Galatians 5:6. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed out from faith alone into faith alone. Ek pistios. Out from faith alone in Christ is our righteousness. That's 1 Corinthians 1:30 and Romans 1:17. Ice piston into the faith of Christ, his faith, into the word of Christ alone, wherein his righteousness accumulates as right thinking that eventuates in right doing. Always, always, always. It's not something you do, it's something that happens, something that occurs, it's the result. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, Christ, is righteous. Or 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Is that hard? We believe and love. Faith, hope, and love. These three abide. And the greatest of these is love. Now, if faith exists, and you have faith, hope and love are not far behind. Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. It comes by hearing and grows by daily studying the Word, meditating upon it, which is tantamount to allowing it to richly dwell in your heart. It has to be in your heart. It's in your mouth and in your heart, this Word of faith that we preach. It's as simple as acknowledging and affirming to God that you believe his word. Every time you hear it, say, I believe you, Lord. I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. You can't go wrong. He's pleased with that. He's pleased with that. And you say, well, I'm not so sure about that passage. How that passage fits. Don't even try. Don't lean on your own understanding. That's like not believing God. In other words, you're going to prefer what you think rather than what he says. Let it lie. So often I've gone to bed perplexed and wake up in the morning with a pure, clear understanding of a passage or a concept from the Word of God, as he teaches you in your sleep. He doesn't share his glory with any man. He says, oh, you're smarter than most, so you came up with this. No, you're dumber than most. And I give it to you because I feel sorry for you. Thank you, Lord. I'll take your pity any day. Like a father pities his children, so the Lord pities us. He knows our frame, though we're but dust. You know that, don't you? You know, we shouldn't think more highly of ourselves than we ought or than is written regarding man. Jesus never entrusted himself to man because he knew it was in a man. Man's not reliable. Man's not faithful or reliable or trustworthy. So, faith comes by hearing and grows by daily study, meditating upon the Word, allowing it to richly dwell in your heart. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, don't make a less than attractive woman your wife. Make learning God's Word every day your objective, your number one objective. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life. The seed of faith is the word of God planted in the fertile soil of a broken and contrite heart. For blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who know how needy they are. How desperately they need the word of God. Without which their life has no meaning, no purpose. no definition. They have no other reason to live. They have no higher aspiration than to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not theirs, His. Psalm 42:1. For the choir director, a maskil of the sons of Korah, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O God. That's desire. That's desperate requirement. If this is you, how happy, how blessed, how fortunate, and to be envied you are. That's how the Amplified Bible says it, expands on your faith. Happy or blessed. Happy, blessed, fortunate, and to be envied are you. If this does not describe you, then recognize the cause and get the only cure. Take your medicine or grow weak, sick, and die. That's the objective. I mean, that's the alternative. It is. God will give you some faith, but once you know these things, they're your responsibility to accomplish and execute by grace and through faith. By grace, by God's grace, His motivation, His power, which He pours into us, keeps on pouring into us. Yes, for every believer, faith is a matter of life and death. Always. It always has been, and always will be. Now I want you in all humility to bear the word of exhortation is coming. Let it hurt you, so God can heal you. For it is a sharp two-edged sword that hurts and heals, tears and mends, bites and blesses. I say bites because it has two mouths, pistemos. Two edges, two mouths. It cuts and cauterizes. Causes you to bleed and stops the bleeding. Gives you a heart transplant, a bone marrow transplant. Takes the thoughts, the joints apart. And puts them back together. For maximum movement, range of motion. Flexibility in life. Turn to Deuteronomy 30. Moses was not nice to the children of Israel. He told them the truth because he was the meekest man in all the earth. So why would you say these things to us? That's just terrible. You tell us something, speak to us smooth words. That's not going to help you. As crass and as coarse as Donald Trump is, at least he tells the truth about certain things anyway. He's not afraid to do that. The other ones won't even say anything that's remotely politically incorrect, like radical Islamic terrorism. They can't say it. They won't say it. That vocabulary doesn't belong to them. That's politically incorrect because there's no such thing as far as they're concerned. Because they're nice. The radical Islam is kind. Nice. And provides great benefits for mankind. Sure. None of the above. And neither do the others. The other world religions. World religions. Christianity is not a religion, it's redemption. All religions are man attempting to gain or to maintain God's acceptance or approval. And Christianity is God seeking man through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Redeeming him. Justifying the ungodly who only believe. Deuteronomy 31. So it shall be when all these things have come upon you. He's talking to the children of Israel, the second generation. The first generation has died, and Moses is about to die himself. Not going into the land, he broke faith. He broke faith. He can't go in. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God's not well pleased with Moses. He broke faith. God's got to make an example of him. You can't go into the land if you don't believe. And in Moses' case, much was given, so much is required. So it shall be when all of these things have come upon you, the blessing and or the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind in all nations where the Lord your God has banished you. He's saying it like his foregone conclusion. And you return to the Lord your God, which indeed they will do, and obey him with all your heart and soul, according to all that I commanded you today, you and your sons. Then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you and will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are at the ends of the earth, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you back. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul in order that you may live. And the Lord your God will inflict all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you, and you shall again obey the Lord and observe all his commandments which I command you today. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your cattle, in the produce of your ground. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God to keep and guard from loss his commandments, his word, and his statutes, the directives, which are written in this book of the law. If you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, for this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. Why? Because you simply believe it. Paul comments on this exact verse in the epistles, in his epistles. The word of faith which we speak. The word of faith is, I believe. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it, that is, believe it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. That's the stakes. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. He's preparing them to go into the land, to have the right heart attitude, to trust the Lord implicitly. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. That doesn't mean you'll lose your salvation if you're a believer in Christ, but it means that everything else will go. For time, and much of that which was slated for eternity, will be undeliverable, stored, as it were, in a museum of lost opportunity, as a testimony to your negative volition and the grace of God that gave you equal privilege and opportunity to have it all. All things are yours. So grab up on them. So he says, verse 17, but if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing, that's the sin unto death, by the way, where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life, in order that you may live, you and your descendants. It's the same for all. by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days. That you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So, verse 23, 11:23 of Hebrews. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful, remarkable child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. What was the king's edict? Kill the young boys, because they heard that there was going to be a deliverer. And Moses is a picture of Christ. Therefore, faith favors faith. Favors the believing. Fears only God. Hebrews 11:24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Faith fashions one's identity. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. It frees from bondage to sin and to the lust of deceit. Verse 26, considering the reproach, the rejection that one experiences because of his association with Christ, greater riches, that's great riches, than the treasures of Egypt, the pleasures, comforts of Egypt. For he was looking to the ultimate reward. Faith forsakes earthly pursuits and doesn't live for earthly riches. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Faith focuses on Christ. See, we cast aside the lust of deceit and perfect holiness in the fear of God. Faith focuses on Christ who fears God. Cast aside the lust of deceit and perfects holiness in the fear of God. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroys the firstborn would not touch them. Faith finds grace for obedience. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as though on dry land, passing through on dry land, and the Egyptians, when he attempted to overdrown, faith foils the plots of wickedness. See, faith is your friendship, your fellowship, your union and communion with God our Savior, Jesus Christ. Guess what? We're done. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. May it be planted, deeply engrafted, deeply engrafted, permanently engrafted into our soul stream of consciousness, that we might recall these things, that we might bear up under the word of exhortation and choose life. That life comes through the word of life, the word of life, the word of Christ, the word of the cross, the word of faith. It's not too hard. Father, you've been so reasonable. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, that your sins be like scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow. They'll be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. Therefore, I beseech you, my mother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is considered wholly devoted to God's purpose and well-pleasing in his sight, which is your reasonable, rational service in of, pertaining to, the word of God. Be not pressed into the mold of this world, but be transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or demonstrate what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Faith, hope, and love. Good, acceptable, and perfect. Faith, hope, and love. Gold, silver, precious stones. Maximally honors the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the image and likeness of God in man, becoming one with him, at one with him, atoned by his death, saved by his life. Safe, and eternally secure. That's it. There's only one kind of salvation, it's eternal salvation. It cannot be forfeited for any reason.
you come to me, I will in no wise, under no circumstances, ever cast him out. My Father has given them to me. They're a gift from my Father. I've given to them eternal life, and they shall never, no, never perish. Neither can anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of his hand. Oh, I'll raise them up on the last day, each and every one of them. Some to great glory and some to less than great glory. And the wicked or the unbelieving, the abominable, the detestable, those who would not believe in Christ because they care too much about what people think and don't weigh the issues of eternity, and they will have their place in the lake of fire. But also, Father, you've told us that there are great stakes for eternity, great losses to be incurred by those who do not execute, who do not give you the attention that is due you, give your word the attention that is due it, and don't ever come to understand the reason that they're here on the earth, that is to learn to linger long under the word of God, to tie their time, vest in their soul, so that their soul has a full and growing inventory of absolute truth regarding the person and word of Christ, which is the confidence and conviction of faith, hope, and love. Produces all by itself. The word does all the work. Thank you, Father, for the gracious dynamics of the Christian spiritual life, the supernatural life that is lived by the powerful word and the power of your Holy Spirit. May we all be filled continuously with the Holy Spirit and filled with Holy Scripture, which is the holy commandment for each and every one of us, so that we might live and live long in the land that the Lord has given us. That is, we have maximum opportunity to rack up the privileges and rewards of eternity by faith, by grace, and through faith. That's the only way that we get them. Not by doing, but by believing. Not by working, but by trusting. Learning to trust you in everything all the time. Not once in a while, when things are beyond our control. Like the man said last night on The Voice, I have learned over the years to give God's will precedence over my own. Boy, that's a lesson to be learned, isn't it? Wow, would things be different? Father, thank you for these things in the name, the blessed name of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless the offering also in Jesus' name. Amen.
When you hear a statement like that from somebody, like out of the blue, it's like, okay, I've learned that God's will preference or precedence over my own. That's a mouthful.